Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Changed my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
What's obvious? I mean, did you see the game tonight?
It was great. I wish I played better.
And I promise you, this is one of those moments in time when we're going to think back in a few years and go, you remember the night?
Gordon Hayward for two.
Gordon Hayward with a corner crash.
For all of us, it's not losing confidence in each other and not losing trust.
Absolutely. The more, the better.
The more, the better. Well, great. Well, enjoy the rest of the game.
What am I going to do with this bulge in my pants?
Well, that's a tough thing to do.
I'm in an interesting place here. By the way, it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's the Oddballs. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. The number to join us here today is 617-779-7937. But I'm in a weird place because part of me wants to gloat. I mean, last week we came in here, we did our show, Fitzy, and I told you for a couple of hours that the Patriots simply weren't going to win last week. There was something about where the way the Patriots had been playing going into this type of an emotional setting. I don't need to get back into all the reasons why, but I was right. And I texted you a couple of times during the game to remind you that I was right. And part of me was like, all right, the football guy here, I knew more than the football guy. I was proud of myself. I want to gloat. I want to be happy. But the other part of me is like, yeah, but I'm a Patriots fan, and it sucks to see them lose. Because a loss like this, Fitzy, it leaves us, once again, shaking our heads with more questions than answers. And here we are 9 weeks in. And I hate to say this, I feel like it's a cop-out, but I have no idea who this football team really is.
Well, first of all, I would only say that perhaps next time you force me to choke down such a giant slice of humble pie on a Saturday afternoon, you could at least bring in like a cup of coffee or maybe like little vanilla ice cream so I can a la mode it, because defeat, thy taste, unfamiliar as it may be, is still like ass. First Patriots loss of the season.
Yep.
First Patriots loss in the calendar 2019. First Patriots loss since before last Christmas, when I gave you my heart, and the very next day you gave it away. Yes, I just quoted Wham. I'm in a weird place, Boston. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it sucks, but I will say this.
Yes.
I'll let you take your victory lap.
Okay.
Because you were right.
Yep.
Tell your sister you were right. I just went Jedi, too. I told you, it's a weird place.
You are in a weird place right now.
Well, because I don't know what to make of all this either. Because on one hand, there's going to be a lot of hands here. So just start thinking of me as like Vishnu or something.
Yeah,
or like
many hands.
Or an octopus. I could definitely be a cephalopod. Many hands. That almost sounds like someone else. 617. So on the many hands here, number one, I think there is no team. First of all, the bye couldn't have come at a better time. And,
sure.
I've maintained that mantle, and I've stuck with that take all week long. Just because from getting healthy to assessing what happened and preparing themselves for this gauntlet, first of which in this ridiculous, this wicked game of five, the wicked gauntlet in the 2019 season when the Pats either proved themselves or proved the doubters wrong.
Or as other teams
proved
call
the doubters
it,
right.
Their NFL schedule.
The NFL schedule. Exactly. Right. The NFL schedule, since Belichick always says you don't really even start playing football or don't know your team till Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We're getting an idea of who they are now. They failed the first test, if you will. But no team, this is point two, is better equipped to learn from their mistakes, coach it up, and improve and intensify better than the Patriots. See last year and several other turn it around in November, December Foxborough efforts, okay? That said, we have to hope that what the boogeymen did last week was that anomalous Twitter statistical sort of like, well, the 2000 Ravens gave up 35 to the Jags in one game, and the 85 Bears gave up 38 to the Dolphins. So, you know, it is what it is, and we'll see what's up next time. All right, because next week the Pats have a game in a loving, warm environment against people that love them, like every road Super Bowl they play, of which there's eight every year.
They'll be welcomed in with open arms, as will you.
Oh, my God, they can't wait for me to be there, and I'll love you right back. That's what Brady tells you to do, right? You love them right back.
That's it.
They're going down someplace where there is enough talent and a similar offensive scheme and a coach who used to be a coordinator who beat them in the biggest game of all cannot wait to come off a bye and prove that the boogeymen aren't just bleeding, but they're hemorrhaging. You're right. We don't necessarily know who it's not just one loss proves the season is off the rails, but I think we'll know who they are after this next game.
Well, and you got, here's the problem that I have is, you know, despite the fact that they lost last week, the boogeymen, as you like to call them, by the way, I noticed no sweatshirt this week, no hoodie. Mm-hmm. You're not exactly out there in public,
nope.
You know, showing off the boogeyman gear.
I thought it was a weird week for the Patriots Pro Shop to be like, hey, get your boogeyman shirts now. Like, Pat's Pro Shop, come on. A, get on that 3 weeks prior, and B, not after they just get faced for a 37 burger against Jitterbug Jesus, a.k.a. Lamar Jackson, please.
I mean, let's be honest about this, though. Throughout the course of the first eight games of the season, mm-hmm. We sat here, and there were some warning signs. Yes, I realize they only gave up about 8 points per game defensively at a record-breaking pace, but
right.
I believe it was three or four of the running backs that they faced had stellar games. I mean, they were giving up significant yards in the running game defensively.
Just quiet because the Pats scored enough points, and they made enough spectacular plays on defense
exactly.
to quiet everyone down. Like, oh, wait a second, I forgot about that 65-yard end-around thing in Washington. Or like, wow, Chubb actually ended up with 150? Well, it was the two fumbles that he had that made everybody forget about the fact that he had a buck 50 that night.
So there were some warning signs going into this game, and the difference is the boogeymen, so to speak, didn't have those momentum-breaking, back-breaking plays, be it mm-hmm. an interception, a strip sack, something that changes the tide of the game. That
right.
didn't really happen in this one. And you can't count on those things to happen moving forward, by the way. So there has been a fatal flaw of the Patriots' defense for the most part this season. When they go up against a team that can run and run successfully, the Patriots have been sort of giving up that run.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do you do? Because you're beyond the trade deadline and you're at a place where what you are is almost what you are. They don't have many options right now to improve the talent on this team.
No, but it's inarguable that the secondary is spectacular. The linebacking core is excellent, though last week they got caught with their pants around their ankles, or last week they got caught looking the wrong way, if you will. Last week they got caught slightly unprepared. They didn't maintain. One thing we did talk about was they didn't maintain their gap discipline, that they had to watch the point of attack, and they fell for every other fake, which is something you can't do against not a gimmick offense, but an offense that's full of trickeration. I'm over here. I'm over there. A little trickery and deceit.
Sure. But again, you know, you look at this team, and the Herald today comes out with a great question. It's all over the internet right now, and I'll ask it to you. It says, can Tom Brady still put the Patriots on his back to win games if the defense falters? And that is a great question, mm-hmm. Karen Garigian asked it, because this is really the first time where you're not so sure. Not only because of Brady's age and where he's at so far this season, but because of the lack of quality receivers. We've talked about it all season long. He's got his few pet guys, but still, that hasn't been enough to really break things open. You haven't seen Tom have to put the team on his back and single-handedly carry them to victory. But if you go back last year, he didn't really have to do that much in the regular season either.
Nope.
You saw him do it in the playoffs, and you realized, okay, he was still capable, but he still had Gronk, he had a younger Edelman, he had more faith in that receiving core, and ultimately when Tom Brady had to don the cape and be Superman, he was still able to do it.
How many touchdown passes did he throw last postseason?
I'll have to look it up, but you tell me.
Dos.
Two, that's it.
Just two. So we all think of Brady going on this epic run while the run game sustained them. Sony Michel had six touchdowns in the postseason. Most red zone rushes in the NFL last year, especially in the postseason. He only had two touchdowns last year.
But Tom's always been the beneficiary of you know, those types of anomalies, whether it's driving down the field to Adam Vinatieri winning
right.
Super Bowls. I mean, he's always put the team in
Tom
position.
First. Yep,
you
of
know,
course.
But we remember Tom first because he's the superstar. He's the face.
Yeah, and but the problem is he's also judged against his own spectacularness, if you will. And being judged against the standard that is you and the now two-decade-long body of work is something that I'm sure is, you know, quite an honor to him, but at the same time is all borderline unfair.
It is.
So he's judged against his own body of work to which there is no comp at this point.
What we've always been used to and accustomed to, though, Fitzy, is no matter what flaws, what issues the Patriots have, you know, the combination of Tom and Belichick will find a way to sort of solve those problems, and they'll find a way to overcome those issues. Mm-hmm. This year, I feel like there's so many little issues that it's going to take a miracle, really, to get these guys at a place where I feel confident in their ability to change things up. And to, if they have to win a shootout, to go win a shootout. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing when the defense is playing historically well against, let's call them, less than difficult opponents.
Okay, Patrick, we can both agree that the Patriots played what I call a supersized Costco XL preseason. They played four actual preseason games, then they played an extended preseason that lasted all the way to friggin' November.
But you didn't sound like that when you were extolling this Patriots defense and only giving up 8 points per game, rocking your boogeyman sweatshirts and having your buddy in here with his boogeyman sweatshirt. Flex on you for what? For an extended preseason? The Celtics went 4-0 in the preseason.
Look, they're carrying that over right now as well.
But where's my hoodie? 4-0 in the preseason.
Because there's not a sexy nickname yet. Also, I happen to work with the gentleman who makes that sweatshirt. So what's good for the Fitz is good for the gander, all right? Now, I will say, I'll say that while, yes, the defense did get run on last week, and yes, Baltimore is potentially, with that offense, on the way to something that no team has ever done, which is averaging potentially 200 yards passing and 200 yards rushing a game. So through halfway through the season, that's how cool this offense is. And, you know, and God bless him. And Lamar Jackson went from a 75-1 MVP favorite to a 5-1 after that game. Good for him. He showed up under the big bright Sunday Night Football lights, and against the guy that he calls the GOAT, he showed up and he played a hell of a game. Okay,
but those averages were there going into last week, Fitzy.
Yes, they were.
Ignored them, and you said they're irrelevant because the boogeymen are here.
I didn't think. Well, they played a bad game.
They did.
There's no denying the fact that they didn't play a good game. There are plays throughout the game that pissed me off the most, or that frustrated me during the game that drove me even crazier afterwards. Like, for example, the 4th-and-4 to completion, which was huge, huge, in the second half to Willie Snead. About as blatant a pick play as you could ever see. As blatant as the one that pissed off Belichick in Do Your Josh 3, the one that set off the touchdown run in the playoffs against Kansas City, where Belichick kept going over it on the balustrade, and he was like, Jesus Christ.
So the Patriots were victimized in this game.
It happened once. There's your Patriots persecution complex, I get it. But also, there are just uncharacteristic mistakes with, like, veteran linebacker, like Landon Roberts. Now, he's a run stuffer, so he's going to over-pursue a lot of things. But there were times, like, Jamie Collins actually fell on his ass once because he bit for a fake. He's not supposed to do that. Hightower was out of place a couple of times, and that's why you saw him on the sidelines berating everybody a la Chris Sale in the dugout in the 2018 World Series, because they're better than that. They are better than that. Maybe they're not as good as giving up 7.6 points per play in that giant extended Costco-sized preseason that they played. But they're not as bad as giving up 30 points, 37 total to the Ravens, 7 points of which was obviously not their fault. And I'll add this. Yeah, okay, ifs, buts, candies, nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. You could say, like, well, if a couple of different plays go another direction, like if James White doesn't trip on his own lineman's ankle or if Edelman doesn't get stripped. But those things happened. Why? Because those guys made mistakes. And they were probably a little tired because they ran an up-tempo offense. I thought they would actually go with a ball control offense. They went up-tempo the whole game. They don't make those mistakes. Baltimore admitted to being gassed and having no answer for it. So the Pats actually shot themselves in the foot on both sides of the ball last Sunday.
Look, you're right about some of what you said there. But what worries me is, you know, we keep going back to the defense here and the fact that the defense was only giving up 8 points per game, 7.6, whatever that number is. And we saw them give up 37 last week. So let's split the difference here and say the real number is somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give up 18 to 22 a game. Let's just put that there for a minute. What's your level of confidence in the Patriots' offense and their ability to score 21 to 28 on any given Sunday consistently to win more football games than they lose? Because right now, my confidence level in their ability to do that without any contributions from the defense. So the defense not scoring at all.
Which they didn't do last week.
Tom Brady and the offense, can they score 21 to 28 each and every week to put them in a position to win football games?
If they give up an average of 21 points a week going forward, through the final 80% of the Wicked Gauntlet, these five games, if they only give up 21 points per game, I am exceedingly confident that they can win all four of those games. And yes, I do, because look, they scored 20 last week. Lord knows they should have scored at least 24, if not 30 points in that game. Just a couple of things. Watson drops the easiest seam pass on second down, and then in the next one, Brady throws a 50-50 ball that Mohamed Sanu gives up on and Earl Thomas catches for an arm punt. Just little stupid things that they're not supposed to do that they did that I don't believe will be endemic of the offense and the Patriots team going forward, because it sure hasn't been in the past.
And something else to think about before you go to break here is, you know, you look at this team, and again, it frustrates me to no end. I listen to the station all week long, and you got everybody here suddenly
a glutton for punishment football
expert. Everybody knows everything about every sport in the world here, and there's never any room for discussion because when people say it emphatically enough, they actually believe what they say. But there is this sort of complex that is coming over everybody, and there's this belief that is invading each and every person that steps in front of the microphone here, and that's Isaiah Wynn. He's been the topic of conversation all week long here, and he's almost looked at like the savior for this football team. Isaiah Wynn's a good player, very good player, yep. And he potentially could make a large difference on this football team. But it's not like he's coming back this week. He's not eligible until week 12, so you still got a little ways to go before you get there. And when he comes back, he will have not have played since week one.
You better watch your mouth as you come up upon the tackle that's filling in for him one more week, because every time you say Newhouse, a dollar goes in everyone's swear jar.
It's unbelievable to me, though. You know, Newhouse has been terrible. There's no doubt about that.
What are you talking about? He's only the 49th ranked left tackle out of 50. 49th ranked tackle out of 50 eligible tackles in the run game in the NFL this year.
But again, you know, Isaiah Wynn, he hasn't played all season long. He's not going to play for the next couple of weeks. And by the time he gets here, and it's the Cowboys game on the 24th, by the time he's eligible to play,
right.
I mean, not for nothing, the Patriots
could
find themselves.
Need him, dude.
You absolutely need him for that game. But you could find yourself in a much worse off place at that point in time than you are right now. You know what I mean? You need him right now. You need answers today. Because it looks to me, Fitzy, like they're going to roll the football out next week with exactly the same team that they've had all season long. Maybe your man N'Keal Harry will get his chance offensively. It doesn't look like that, though.
Don't bet much on that. Listen, there are guys on that offensive line, like I said earlier when we got things kicked off, no team needed the bye more than the Patriots. There are plenty of other teams that would say, like, oh, our bye came at the right time, too, because we were banged up, needed a break, had to game plan for a big one. The Pats are game planning for a big one. They do need to reassess coming off the 17-point primetime defeat, but they're banged up, too. You got guys like Tooney, who I think is like probably a little dinged up, although they said he graded out with his best game of the year last week. Obviously, you got to survive the Newhouse, it's another dollar in the jar era for just one more game. Ted Karras, he's never going to be David Andrews, but maybe he can just improve a little bit. We all know Shaq Mason is dinged up, and Marcus Cannon, no matter what he can give you, he's always just like one play away from getting nicked up as well. So in a game where they're going to face people like Brandon Graham, who's balling out this year and made a hell of a play 2 years ago, son of a, against the Patriots, you need these guys to rest up. But don't you start telling me about how Philadelphia's defense is going to overwhelm this Patriots offense, because they got nothing at cornerback.
You know, in years past, there's no doubt about it, Fitzy, in years past when the Patriots would lose in embarrassing fashion, lose on national TV, lose sort of in one of these types of games like they lost in last week, you had the utmost confidence in their ability to come back the next time they take the field and really show who they are.
Because 12-4 off the bye.
Take those things personally. Mm-hmm. You know, they take these things personally. Belichick with the extra preparation time, the bye combined with the embarrassing loss. I mean, that's usually enough to get the Patriots over the top and to really make a statement. This is a statement game for them coming up next week. If they come out and they look like a tired football team again, they look a little bit disinterested, they look like they're not taking care of the football the way that we're accustomed to seeing them do those things, it's attention to detail and the little things that this team really has been so excellent at over the last 20 years that makes the difference between winning and losing. And that stuff wasn't there last week.
But you saw some of those same mistakes last year, and then when it really mattered most, they tightened up. They turned it around, and then they made a run that nobody could have seen coming. In a lot of ways, I think, just the same way that I was saying earlier, that Brady is a victim of his own success and is judged against himself with this enormous, unprecedented body of work. By the very same token, Patrick, I feel like we now, last year, what last year's Super Bowl did for us, aside from give us an excuse to get unbelievably hammered on a 60-degree day in February, was and celebrate well up to Valentine's Day and buy more t-shirts we didn't need, was finally force us to just shut up and trust the process.
Yeah.
And just believe in Belichick, believe in Brady, and not doubt what they're doing down there. So if that's a corollary, if that's a side effect to what happened last year, then maybe we should just give them credit, buy into it, trust the process, and like you said, see what happens when they come out in this I'll call it a statement-ish game.
And last year, you conveniently leave out the guy that stepped it up offensively in the postseason, and that's Gronk. You know, Gronk, all season long, his numbers were down. We talked about what a dominant blocking tight end he was, but the offensive numbers, the offensive production, they were not there. Then when the team had to have it, when they needed to have it, there was Rob Gronkowski, and you don't have him this year. And again, people, we don't talk enough about the fact that they didn't replace him. They didn't go in the other direction that they said they were going to go in. They're not a dominant running team. Matter of fact, they're the worst running team in football. So all the stuff that we heard in the offseason that was going to sort of compensate for the loss of Gronk, none of it, zero, has come to fruition just yet. It is Sports Radio, WEI, it's the Oddballs. It is Fitzy, it is Gilroy. Room for you guys when we come back, 617-779-7937.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
More of what you want to hear, the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
When you're frustrated and when you're angry, what's the biggest mental challenge that you face as you go through a long season?
Well, I think it's just, for all of us, it's not losing confidence in each other and not losing trust. And I think that's a big part of it, is just to, you know, sometimes when the outcome isn't the way you want, doubt creeps into your mind. I think you have to return to what the process of winning is. Like I said, we're going to take this week and study ourselves pretty hard and then get back to work against a team that, you know, is another great football team. We play them on the road, too. So this is what NFL season's all about.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray right there. And
Tom
always does a good job with that interview. I just feel like...
Tom, how are you?
He knows what people need to hear, and he's so good at that.
Because it's pre-scripted. So as opposed to having to answer questions from us on the Brady interview on Patriots Monday here on the Greg Hill Show...
Hard-hitting questions, by the way.
Exactly. Well, I thought I asked him a pretty hard... Usually I lob up some softballs, or I'll try to ask him now that Greg has allowed me to incorporate myself further into the interview, which I appreciate very much. In addition to the fanboy question, I'll try to always ask one something that maybe will elicit a laugh from him or get him comfortable.
Sure.
Mentioning like dad life and you know, last week it was, you know, what did you say to the ref when you got called for that garbage, the quarterback, he threw it down the field and Dorsett broke one way and he went the other and they called it intentional grounding.
And
it obviously looked like he was offering an earful to the court. And, you know, he said, I said that I strongly disagree with your assessment there. You know, like, you know, there's 10 F-bombs that flew out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And it was true because he said, Phil, and I guess this is where we get into the complexity of the offense, did have two reads on that. And the way Dorsett read it was he thought he should break in post and Brady thought he should go sideline. So Brady hucked it, you know, took a 50-50 guess and hucked it sideline. And because Dorsett broke post, They called it intentional grounding. So anyway, but back to the question. Later on, I asked him, Tom, were you surprised that N'Keal Harry, it's been, overplayed and, assessed ad nauseum here at the station this week. But I asked him, were you surprised that N'Keal Harry wasn't active given that he was brought up to the 53 this week? Tom, were you at all surprised that N'Keal Harry wasn't activated for the game last night?
In what sense?
Just the fact that he was brought onto the 53-man roster and that, could have got, had a couple drives stalled down there in the red area, and I know you guys would love to be able to get 7 instead of 3, and that's a big body first-rounder that I know you've been looking forward to getting back out there. Thank you, Drew. We don't need to hear his answer because he just gave quintessential Brady Belichick service in the answer.
But his first answer there, the in what sense, it sounded a lot like Maloney and Belichick. I mean, he didn't want to give you an answer because he's probably frustrated as well.
Now, is he frustrated because Belichick isn't activating him, or is it because, and Brady has spoken to this a few times this season, Brady's giving him the old no confidence vote?
Hey, maybe that's something that he's done over the course of his career. We know this. And it's something that, fans get frustrated with because we've all seen the highlight reels of N'Keal Harry. We believe in what he can do based on his collegiate body of work and, the limited time you saw him in the preseason. But the fact is, we're just hoping as Patriots fans anyways, I speak for myself here, but you're hoping that N'Keal Harry plays because you're desperately looking for something new, different, and better than what we've seen throughout the first 9 weeks of the season. And he's unproven, he's untested, but he's also an unknown, and those guys are always intriguing.
You're looking for a catalyst for the offense. Now, I thought Mohamed Sanu, or Momo, as Edelman called him, definitely brought some A-game last week.
Yeah.
I mean, 14 targets, 10 catches, 81 and a touch. That was pretty nice. There will be those in the media who will say, it was only 3.7 yards per, per attempt, and, he only got 4 yards after the carry and blah, 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 because everyone hates Christmas, right? It was a hell of a game. I thought he looked fantastic last week. We're not just looking for a N'Keal Harry to break through because we got excited at the prospect of a first-round receiver. We're not looking for him to break through because we all liked his Arizona State hype reels, okay? We're looking for him to break through because of sheer size, and that's what I said with a little bit of a stammer and a surprise that Brady said in what sense back to me. But they did stall out a couple of times in the red zone, and they could probably use 6'3", 225, who can box out and has, hands the size of my feet. They could use a guy like that as everyone clamors for trying out Dez Bryant or is Gronk coming back? You've got a body right there. And Brady,
how
not,
dare you put them in the same sentence, though?
I'm N'Keal not putting them in the same sentence. I'm just saying you have a body. There are guys that sit in this very chair and do shows on Saturday morning, Andy Hart, who say that he saw him in the summer and this kid didn't look like an NFL receiver. So maybe there is a reason why they did activate him.
I mean,
but he's not seeing the field.
Look, the whole thing with Gronk is maddening because, you and I are sitting here during the break and, talking about these tweets that went back and forth the last couple of days between Tom Brady and Gronk. Right. And, they're just having fun messing with each other, but they're also messing with the fan base.
Oh, they're toying with us something wicked right now.
And, Gronk is the easiest answer to the question. You get Gronk to come back, even if he's not as effective offensively as he was last year in a down year, he's still an immediate, impactful player that's going to change the trajectory of this season and drastically improve the Patriots offense. That's the answer to the question right now. And, there's this belief now that because Gronk's got the CBD thing going on, he's got the job with Fox going on, so now there's this belief that Gronk is not going to come back. But here's the deal. All right, the Patriots lose last week. Let's hypothetically say they lose on Sunday to the Eagles, then they lose again to the Cowboys. Now you have 3 consecutive losses. That Cowboys game is on the 24th of November, Fitzy. If you're going to bring Gronk back, he's got to be in uniform. He's going to be signed up by the 30th of November.
Right.
That week right there is going to be all Gronk all the time. And, you talked about the Brady interviews here with Greg Hill and yourself and the one he does with Jim Gray. But a month ago, when Brady was asked by Greg Hill about Gronk and how he feels about Gronk potentially coming back, Brady was very passive about it. He said, I'm happy for Gronk in retirement.
Yeah, as he should be. They're friends. They played together a decade. What else do you want?
Lose 5
Super Bowls, 3 rings.
Lose 3 in a row. Let's see how friendly it gets. Let's see if there isn't a little bit more desperation
there.
You
can't rely on somebody who literally told you, I think I need to stop playing football because my body was too broken. And I know he's rehabbed it. I know he's healed it up. And thanks to the magic of Camille Kostek and CBD and everything and and the ice shaker bottle and everything else in the wide world of Gronk, he's been able to put himself back together again. But why would he risk, just for a chance to make another $1 million when he's probably sitting on a pile of 40, why would he risk his own well-being and a mobile, upright, successful future for five games to glory and a paycheck.
Without Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski probably doesn't have those Super Bowls. He probably doesn't have his CBD company. He probably isn't working for Fox right now. That's the impact that Tom Brady has had on his life. Mm-hmm. So part of me feels like, you know, we're all talking about this potentially being the end for Tom if he gets his seventh Super Bowl. Isn't there a little bit of, hey, you owe me here? Isn't there a little something that says, you know what? Come back for five games. Help me get that seventh so I can go enjoy my retirement just like you are. That's the thing. You know, Gronk is awesome, but Brady helped make him awesome. Scottie Pippen was an awesome basketball player, but he's not a top 50 of all time unless he plays with Michael Jordan. That's a fact. And, you know, right now, if Gronk is Pippen, then Tom Brady is Jordan. And you owe him a little something here. We're not asking for a full season. And by the way, Gronk didn't have the wherewithal or the desire to give the Patriots the entire offseason to plan for his exit from the team.
But he pulled up stakes before the draft, and they had 5 full weeks to address it. And I'm not saying if Irv Smith, who's playing behind Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota, were here, that all the tight end problems would be locked up and solved. But they certainly did have time to plan for it and not just bring in old man Watson, Steven Anderson, who's now, you know, along with Lance Kendricks out in, you know, San Angeles, as you like to call the Chargers. You know, Steve Izzo, Ted Izzo. I literally don't even know Izzo's first name at this point. Ryan Izzo and Matt Lacoste. Matt Lacoste wakes up and he's doubtful.
Look, it's a joke right now. Their tight end situation is a joke.
That's their fault. That's not Gronk's fault.
But the answer is right there in front of them. Gronk has given
you the answer. He came in here and he said he doesn't have the passion for it anymore. He said it back in March when he put it on Instagram on a Sunday night at 6 o'clock when all of us were trying to make dinner or watch TV or get our kids to bed. And then we were like, damn it, now I got to react to this. It's Sunday at 6.
Then stop messing with the fans with the googly eyes back and
forth.
They're
allowed to do it. It's just social media.
It is just social media, and right now, Fitzy, you're still level-headed because it's only one loss. What I'm telling you is the same issues that haunted the Patriots in that game last week could potentially haunt them a little bit next week, but especially up against the Cowboys. Those issues are not going away, so you have to find other ways to win. And one of those ways to win is getting Rob Gronkowski back on the field. Even if they lose 2 out of 3 of these games, at some point, you have to think to yourself, okay, you only have till the 30th of the month to convince him. Do they at least put the full court press on him? Or are they going to pretend that they don't care? You're going to pretend that, you know, we're happy with you in retirement, Gronk. You know, don't come back. We don't want you to come back. Go play with your kids. Be healthy. Have all the girlfriends you want in the world. Do your CBD. Leave us alone. That's not the case at all, because they know better than we do that he is the answer to their offensive problems.
He may very well be, but A, you said he owes Tom Brady because Tom Brady made Gronk so awesome.
He does.
This just in, if there were one player who was more key or integral to Brady's second half of his, you know, double dynasty run here in his 20 years in the NFL, if there were one player that were more key, name him. Because Gronk made Brady that was a mutually reciprocal and beneficial relationship.
Sure, and with no Gronk, it's still 3 Super Bowls at a minimum for Tom Brady. He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he's still in the conversation as the greatest quarterback of all time.
And of course Tom Brady made Gronk look great, but Gronk made Tom Brady look pretty freaking great a lot of times as well. And number two, he gave you those answers. There's a freaking giant poster with a pot leaf on the side of Gillette Stadium with Gronk's face on it. They'll have to take that down.
They'll have to
undo everything. Gronk did say it would take him about 2 weeks to get back into what he would deem acceptable football shape to get things up and running so he could be smashing and dashing again. I just don't think you're going to see. I think it's better for all of us to just rule it out of our heads, because Patrick, last week, look, you said, like, how are they going to be able to score these points? I'll tell you. It's as simple as don't kick your own offensive lineman in the ankle when you're streaking towards a wide open end zone. Don't give up the ball on the 20 to Marlon Humphrey, who's trying to pry it out of your warm, chiseled hands.
Every week you make it sound so easy. It's just do a little bit of this, just do a little less of that, and the offense will be okay. But through 9 weeks, the offense hasn't been okay. That's my point here. It's more than just a little bit of this, a little less of that. Suddenly, voila, the offense is okay. And I'm sorry, I don't have any faith in N'Keal Harry's ability to get some playing time and to change the trajectory of this offense. If he comes in and makes a positive contribution, awesome. That's all you could ask for from the kid. But if you're relying on him to give this offense an entirely new element out there, an entirely new thing for Tom Brady to play with, a new toy for him, that's not going to be the case. It's just not. Not at this late stage in the season, and not to the point where I think everything you need to know was given to you by Belichick and by Tom Brady last week. If those two felt like N'Keal Harry could make a difference, he would have been on the field last week.
But we learned once the game got going and once we really saw what the offense was all about last week, and I think we kind of got an idea once they were able to get on track. Thank you very much, Cyrus Jones. Ah, the gift that keeps on giving. Still the best Patriots player in a Ravens uniform. Second round pick. It's their worst round. Yeah. Belichick should literally just trade out of the second. Well, no, that's where Gronk came from, too. But I digress. Once we saw what the game plan was,
sure,
and the heavy involvement of James White and getting the ball, zipping the ball out real quick to Sanu and to Edelman, oh, they're going up tempo. This is the 11 package. Okay, they're just going to be in that quote-unquote turbo offense the rest of the game. Got it. That was, again, against the grain of what I thought they were going to do. It made sense. So maybe when Brady said, like, in what sense, when I asked him about N'Keal Harry not being active last week, maybe a kid getting his first game action is not going to be involved in a game plan that involves Brady only being able to use veteran receivers because it's up, 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 up tempo, and you got to read me, and it's like they're doing some high-level Lincoln Center jazz there last week. Maybe with a different game plan where they can attack the outside and it's more deliberate. Maybe, I'm not saying he's going to give the offense a facelift, maybe we'll see him come in for 8 plays. Maybe he'll get 10 plays. Maybe he'll have 3 targets, 2 targets. There'll be a small package for him. I said small package on the radio. You're welcome, audience.
Isolate
I'm
that
sure he
sound,
doesn't
please.
Have a small package. We'll hear that again. I said that too. Great.
We're going to hear that again on the morning show. It's going to be there. And look, the fact is this, and callers, we see you guys there. When we come back, we'll get to all the phone calls. But here's the thing. You know, again, N'Keal Harry, whether it's a small package, a large package, or somewhere in between, it is not going to be the fix to Tom Brady's problems right now, because I feel like the problems are too large for a potential rookie to come in here, even a first rounder, and fix it this late stage in the season. So the only guy, and it's not Dez Bryant either. I know he's on Twitter advocating for an opportunity, and hell, bring him in. But he is not going to be the guy that comes in here and gives this team exactly what it needs. There's one guy that gives this team exactly what it needs. Help in multidimensional help for this team. And that's exactly what Gronk can do. And look, there's nobody else on the planet that can do the things that Rob Gronkowski, even at 70 or 80%, can still do.
So Eric Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal this week said, you know, it's time to flash the Gronk signal in the sky. What would the Gronk signal in the sky be?
I don't know, because I don't belong. I don't pay the membership fee, so I got halfway through.
I know. And I don't do paywall for any of these things either. I asked for an account password here because everyone always references these damn articles, and then it's like, I love you guys, but there's only so much. I can barely afford my Netflix and, you know, Spotify on a monthly basis.
Whatever that bat signal is for Gronk, if he told us what it was in the second half of the article, didn't get to read
Everyone in their car right now is like, Fitzy Gilroy, they'll just put a 69 in the sky. Come on, guys.
It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's the Oddballs. It's Gilroy. It's Fitzy. It's you guys. When we come back, it's 617-779-7937.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Getting N'Keal Harry back, Patriots fans aren't preseason, saw a lot of promise, but just getting him back into the offense, what's that like for you?
Yeah, he's missed a lot of football, missed a lot of training camp, missed 8 regular season games, so he's just got to try to work at it every day. And it's going to be up to him to, put the effort in and to, everyone's there to help him. But you know, you got to go out there and you got to do it and earn it and earn the trust of your teammates and coaches and stuff. So it's good to have him out there.
Tom Brady right there. Again, N'Keal Harry, great to have him out there.
Yeah, hey, Tom.
Doing his thing. But, you know, again, everything that you need to know about the Patriots' leadership and their confidence level in N'Keal Harry will be told to you on whether he's activated, whether he plays or not. You know, and again, the first opportunity that he had, he was not out there on the field, and that is for a reason. So if they thought that he was ready to have a positive impact on this offense that desperately needs a swift kick in the ass, then he would have been out there. Their confidence level, when I say there, I firmly believe we're talking about Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady are all very much involved in this discussion. And so far, at least two out of the three of them don't feel like N'Keal Harry is quite ready to go out there and have a positive impact.
I know. I just wish. I think it was Mutt who was saying this week that Brady kind of did Harry a little dirty. We'll call it a dirty Harry, if you will, by not giving him an attaboy right there.
You just stumble into these things, by the way. It's amazing.
I don't stumble into them. It's because this is how it works.
This is what you do, huh?
This is the frustrating genius and obnoxious tryhardism of your old pal Fitzy right here.
I'm going to start writing this
stuff
down.
I have two brains. I have two personalities, so this is the way it works. You know, by not giving him an attaboy right there, by not just saying, like, look, he's worked really hard. It'd be great to get him out there. Obviously, we could use somebody with that size. You know, we'd love to see what he could do for the offense. You know, Belichick could maybe give him a nobody works harder than N'Keal. You know, he's the hardest. He's first in, last out. Belichick gave him a little bit of a vote of confidence in the previous Friday's press conference where he said, you know, he's done what we've asked him, you know, special teams, offense, whatever. He's doing a good job. But apparently he's not doing enough. Now, again, when you said next week is a statement game, it's a show-me game for these almost identity-free or identity-muddled 2019 Patriots, this could be the same thing. Maybe they're not banging his drum. Maybe they're not pumping his tires like Roberto Luongo famously said 8 years ago. Because they kind of just want to sneak him up on us. And maybe all of a sudden he'll come out the same way they didn't say a damn thing about Randy Moss in the 2007 preseason. And then who came out? In the first week against the Jets for 7 and 136 and a touchdown.
N'Keal Harry on the sneak attack. Okay, I got you. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy, it's Gilroy. Let's get to some of these calls. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon's in Philly. Brandon, you're first up here with the oddballs.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's happening, Brandon?
Not much. So, born and raised in New England, living in Philly a long time, so we got a game coming up that means a lot to me. I just wanted to talk about you know, the Ravens game, we saw it coming at the beginning of the year. Me and my friends down here called that probably the easiest game to lose. If you look at the Ravens schedule up until then and look at the points scored, points allowed, like they had just gone into Seattle and beat them 30-16 right before their bye week. So, you know, that I don't think there's any defense that's set up to beat the Ravens because that – offense is kind of like a, you know, I mean, it's around, but not the way they do it. So I kind of don't feel like we're set up to beat the Chiefs. We're set up to beat the Chargers. You know, we're set up to be, you know, most of the teams in the league. This offense they have is tricky, and it's, you know, I don't really, I think it's beatable. I think we have the personnel to do it. I just don't, I think we needed a bye week, like you said, but.
Hey, Brandon, hold on. Does it worry you at all, Brandon, that you could potentially see them again come the playoffs? I mean, right now, there's a bit of a collision course that's possible between these two teams.
Yeah, and I think they were playing better the second time, and I think what happens with the Ravens, I went back and watched all their games after they've been slowly, like, they chew clock, they run even their pass plays aren't set up as bombs. Like, they're set up to, like, move the chains and stay in bounds. And, I mean, they're going to tight ends. They're going on out route. Like, they're set up to limit the amount of possessions you're going to get. And when they have the ball, it's going to be a 9-minute drive, an 8-minute drive. And that just smokes your defense. So, again, I just think we fell into their trap. Those first two drives, Brady comes out, goes 3 and out right away. We had no – that was kind of like, you know, the thing that sealed the deal because now you're down 17-0. And you got a team that's going to chew clock and run.
Right, a lot of pick plays, a lot of rub routes, a lot of tight end options, and you know, little tricky plays over the middle. That's what concerns me about the Philadelphia game. And thanks for the call. And by the way, Brandon, head on a swivel because I may be coming down to Philly next weekend. So if you're going to be out and about, help your old pal Fitzy. Maybe if you can let me know where there's a Pope Mobile I could rent for my my pregame histrionics and antics in the parking lot, I'd appreciate you. But yeah, like Andrews makes a great leaping play on what could have been a 50-50 ball on a third down pass
yep.
along the sidelines. like the pick play that I told you about earlier on Snead. So what he's talking about is they sort of like run up to the line and they do that RPO. And when you got guys that bite for the fake, someone is going to either be drawn single coverage or doing those tight end drags across the middle of the field. How many times was somebody open for a 3 to 11 yard gain across the middle? They're supposed to have that buttoned up.
They are, and they don't. And again, these
didn't,
are the...
not don't, didn't that night.
We'll see what happens come next week. Again, if you're going to call it an extended preseason, Fitzy, mm-hmm. you can't judge this team's success in preseason because, after all, preseason doesn't count. You can't have it both ways. That's all I'm saying. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation about Gronk, about the Patriots. Really, is there another answer? Is there an answer in-house, or do they have to go out-of-house for the answers that they're seeking here? Or is this it? Is this just going to be it, and the Patriots have to make do with exactly what we've seen all season long? Also want to get into the world of kids football. I just got to get into Pop Warner and Flag. My son experienced something today, and Fitzy, I brought it up to you. I'll get into this in the 5 o'clock hour, but some of these coaches, like, really? We're talking about 8-year-old kids out here.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the field screaming at every kid, every play, to the point where the kids are uncomfortable, the parents are uncomfortable, and you're chewing your gum, you got your hat on backwards, and you think you're a badass. But from talking to other parents, this is a shtick that I guess is seen all over New England as part of this football culture. It just made me really uncomfortable today, and I wonder if I'm a softie here. Maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I'm too soft, but I felt bad for the other kids, the kids that this guy was coaching. I felt so bad for them because they're leaving with stomach aches. They're leaving feeling awful about themselves, and they're not learning anything about the game, which is the whole point.
Wow, this sounds highly specific. I thought you were maybe just going to talk about kids' youth football and, you know, overbearing parents, but that got highly specific. And we thought N'Keal Harry had it bad. Wait till you hear Gilroy's story about New Hampshire football.
It's all that and more when we come back right here on the Oddballs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.